They're 20-something, educated, motivated.
Coming here for education is really important for me because I felt like my undergraduate education back in China wasn't really enough.
Ambitious and anxious.
I just feel like I constantly have to learn. Do people think I do well enough? Do they think I don't do well enough? Sometimes, you know, when it gets intense, I just want to go back to China.
That's Allison Chen from Kunming and Franklin Chen, no relation to Allison, from Xiamen. They both have a master's degree, one from Boston University, the other Harvard. But they also know what they don't have.
A Harvard degree is just a degree. If you are staying in Boston, it's such a college town. Everybody graduated from Harvard, so what?
So they had enough to get accepted into top American universities. Do they have what it takes to get accepted by the workplace and their peers in America? What is enough? How are they tested in the real world? I'm Mabel Chan, and this is One in a Billion, a podcast about China through the voices of Chinese millennials in America. Let's face it, we all have our fears. They may come from our workplace, testing our skills.
I work in a public relations firm specialized in the life science industry. So I help, you know, biotech companies, life science companies market themselves and raise their profiles. I think the job itself is very interesting, especially in life science. Every day is new. There's always a lot of science stuff to learn. Also, at the same time, do people think I do well enough? Do they think I don't do well enough because of my language skills?
Our fears may also come from our own heads, kicking us down, telling us to go back to where we came from.
Sometimes, you know, when it gets intense, it can hurt your confidence. And sometimes you just feel so beat up and you're just like, I'm not going to try anymore. I'm just going to work for maybe a couple more days. And I just want to go back to China.
Going back to China is not only a message swimming around in Allison's head, but also a call coming from a country going through a serious brain drain in an aging society. Chinese students were not allowed to study abroad until the 1980s. Since the turn of the 21st century, China has sent more students to American colleges and universities than any other country in the world. With rising family incomes and a rigid educational system in China, many parents can afford to send their children overseas. The numbers are staggering. Young Chinese started coming by the tens of thousands a year to America. Over the past decade, that number has exploded by fivefold. Now, they arrive by the hundreds of thousands every year. When you scan around any college town like Boston, one in three international students is a face of China. Most of those students with a PhD in science and engineering stay in America. Allison's story is rare.
My parents were just here a couple days ago and they were saying, why are you so worried? You know, we think you're doing great. You graduated and you have a job and you found a job just a couple months after you graduated and then you got married, blah, blah, blah. I just feel like, yeah, all those things they're saying are true, but there's always a but there. I just feel like I'm still always sort of like worried about my identity here. Everything happened so quickly that I feel like I'm constantly overwhelmed because I'm not from here.
What is wrong with the fact that you're not from here? America's an immigrant nation, as you know.
I think that's a really good question. When I really ask myself, what's wrong with only having spent 3 years in this country? There's nothing wrong with this. I feel like it's almost the societal pressure. Maybe it's real. Maybe it's just in my head.
What is your expectation for yourself?
When I graduated, I feel like, okay, it's great. It's a good feeling. But so many other people graduated too. It's not like I'm any better than them. So that kind of like triggered me to go further. And every step I go, it's always like so many other people are doing the same things.
What would be enough?
The notion of not enough is always evolving. For me now, the biggest thing I want to do is obviously improve myself, my writing abilities, my speaking abilities.
Allison is painfully aware that she's chosen PR and communications, a fiercely competitive field in a college town crowded with degree holders in liberal arts and humanities. When she was a student, she excelled through figuring out how exams are designed, scoring high and finishing fast. But now, those quantifiable metrics are irrelevant in a workplace that requires creative and corporate language, as well as close interpersonal relationships.
When I think about how I handle relationships with other people, my friends or my coworkers, I just always feel like an outsider almost. Mm-hmm. Of course, like you pretend that you're not and you joke around with them and you greet each other and you go to work and you work just like any other people. At the end of the day, you just feel like they don't really understand this. It's probably an Asian thing. It's probably a Chinese thing.
What's a Chinese thing? I kicked myself for not following up on that, and I kept thinking about that for days. I'm Chinese. What's this Chinese thing? I certainly remember in my first few years in America, I took everyone, every word seriously. I had a hard time understanding who's sincere, who means what they say, and who's just kidding or being superficial. Franklin has similar thought when he first heard the question, how are you?
People use it as a greeting. They say, how are you, just as a way of saying hi. I didn't know that. And I would really think about it for 5 to 10 seconds. It really took me a while to realize that, oh, I'm not supposed to let people hang with that question. It's sort of embarrassing.
You thought that might be an opening, an invitation for you to connect and really share thoughts.
Exactly. I learned that as soon as I got into the mode that I'm just supposed to answer I'm good all the time to that question, I stopped thinking about what is going on with myself. I stopped self-checking me because I felt like I have to be perfect all the time.
That's it. Perhaps this Chinese thing is about authenticity. We crave to connect with people who are genuine, not phony. But at a place like Harvard, especially at the start of a school year, almost everyone knows how to dress, look, and act the part.
I got to see the people around me, outstanding, extraordinary people doing amazing things. Before coming to graduate school, I began to feel the pressure and the expectations that people have and I have for myself. Because coming here straight out of undergrad, I don't know what I want to do. And it looks like everybody else around you knows.
But Franklin instinctively knew how to fake it in some ways.
I have to present myself as being likable. Mm-hmm, I present myself as being very optimistic and energetic so that people like me. Mm-hmm, like that's my daily conversation with myself and other people, like, please like me. That was unhealthy because you're going through so many fears and stress and you're hiding that, internalizing that inside of your body, and you never talk about it.
You're just here for 1 year and you were a student that whole year.
Exactly.
So how did you break out of your shell? How do you cultivate that level of comfort you mentioned? It's not easy to just suddenly bare your soul.
One of the interesting things that happened very early on in a semester, I was experiencing all that, you know, I'm good, I need to be perfect, imposter syndrome, everything. Then I was hiding my fears and stress to other people.
How did the stress manifest itself?
I would start to feel very depressed and tired by the end of the day because I feel like I have to put on a show every day. And that's not me. Like, that was just not myself. Whenever I got home, I would just feel very, very tired. But then one day I was brushing my teeth with a glass of water in my hand. I didn't know what happened, but then the glass just broke and it cut my hand. It wasn't horrifying. It was okay. But then I have to wear a gauze for 2 weeks, which is like this very blatant, obvious thing around my hand. What's interesting is that after that, when I like talk to people with that gauze,
you know, wrapped around your hand,
around my hand, people stopped asking me, how are you anymore? They started saying like, oh, what's going on? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, what happened?
They care.
They care. They started to care.
And they show it, they say it.
They say it, and then I started to have more genuine conversations with others, and I started to have more genuine connections with others. A lot of the friends that I made came out of that.
What is the insight for you?
The insight for me from that incident is that because of that gauze, people see your problem. Having that gauze really made me realize that it's okay to just say it out loud, acknowledging that I have these problems. It's okay because it's human.
That gives you the entry point to start sharing stress.
Because if you are a decent human being, seeing that and then resonating with other people's problems is just a way of connecting with each other, right?
Fear is an emotion. How do you manage that right now?
The most effective strategy for me to manage all this stress and all this fear is to acknowledge it, to put it out there, to sort of have this out-of-body experience. I want to get it out of my body so that it doesn't feel like it's part of me anymore. Whenever I experience that, I would try to stay connected with friends I have.
Fear is also an anticipation that something is about to happen beyond our control. For Allison,
I think my biggest fear is really the notion of not being able to fit in anywhere, either here or China. Even before I came here, my parents always said to me, you know, the Chinese system, the working culture is very different. We don't think your personality fits in here very well.
What sometimes, about your personality that's not going to fit in China?
Sometimes they think I'm too, I'm very impatient. And sometimes I'm too honest.
My biggest fear right now is to find that something that allows me to stay.
So you have about 4 months, 6 months?
Yeah, to find a place, a company or an organization that is willing to sponsor my working visa application, right? And even though if they agree to do that, it's not like you're set, you know, because there's the lottery. But I don't even have the time to think about that fear right now, because I don't think that I have accomplished the first step yet. The reason why it's a fear for me is that, well, first of all, I have to find something really quick. But then the second thing is that I have expectations about myself that I don't want to settle for anything. I just need to focus on really finding that something that would be perfect. I would be like super passionate about it, and it will also give me a working visa. That would be the ideal.
In our next episode, Franklin will face his fears by opening up about a horrible job interview experience in front of a live audience at Harvard. It was the first ever open mic storytelling event called Why Not Me? Why not me is the question we all ask ourselves at one point or another when we wonder why are we shut out, left in the cold, in the dark, or locked in a box? Why Not Me targets Asian students at Harvard, a growing population that is seen everywhere, but often unheard, especially around the hot-button issues like stereotype, snap judgment, and implicit bias. I'm honored to have hosted that historic forum and shared my story. We want to add your voice to our podcast. Send us a story? Just go to our website at chinapersonified.com under Pitch a Story. Or email me your audio story, maximum 5 minutes, to info@chinapersonified.com. I'm Abel Chan. One in a billion is listening to China, one person at a time.